Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, we've got Mike Grace as the long road trip wraps up tonight in Seattle. And with it, maybe also we'll end the long absence of the missing Jesse Agler.
We know where he is. He's not missing. Well, but we're just missing him.
In studio with Mike, we've also got Randy Jones, who, unlike many of our hosts that focus on their sockwear, he focuses on the actual shoe.
This is kind of historic. Not wearing boots.
I know.
Wearing tennis shoes.
Yeah.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Mike Grace and Randy Jones.
Welcome to the show. Hopefully going to lift everybody's spirits today after another tough loss in Seattle yesterday. Randy is back with a very handsome pair of boots.
We're going to lift spirits.
Lift spirits, right?
I like that idea.
We're gonna get past this loss. We're going to talk about some of the reasons why things aren't going so well, what to look forward to, what could happen tonight, what might happen tonight. But as always, we got to kind of touch on everything that went on last night. An eventful game, not a lot of it positive, and not a lot of it even before the game started.
Well,
you got really, really discouraging news before the game even starts. So we'll just get right into the Will Myers news. This is the AMR injury report. Before the game, Will Myers takes batting practice, and he aggravates his wrist injury that he hurt apparently in the Arizona series, which is a problem that he had in Tampa the year before, and was scratched from the lineup. So that was probably the most disappointing news of the day, even given the score of last night's game.
Right. And, you know, is he day-to-day? Have they made any announcements?
So the only thing that we know at this point is he is back in San Diego. He's going to see the Padres hand specialist since there's only one more day on the trip, so they're going to be a man down up there. At this point, he's still day-to-day. He has talked like he thinks it's just a day-to-day thing, but who knows? They're going to do probably an MRI, some sort of x-ray. This is the type of thing that you've got to nip in the bud. Don't let it get worse.
That's
because
right.
We've seen what it's done to his career when he's had wrist injuries, but also what it's done to Yonder Alonso the last couple of years.
Exactly.
These guys cannot go up there and hit major league pitching with unhealthy wrists.
Well, you try to go out there, you try to play through it, you aggravate it even more, then you miss even more time. You know, and that's not smart. I mean, you just got to get it back to 100% before you get back on the field. Give your best shot to, you know, get healthy and play some games.
And I would say it's a pretty tough argument that either he or Justin Upton have been the most important guys in the lineup so far this year.
No
it's
doubt
probably
about
not
it.
Even close, the struggles that Matt Kemp's
gone through.
Leading
the major leagues and runs scored and making it happen at the top of the lineup. And even the bottom line, gets on two out RBI hits. He's done it all for us. Will's been very special.
Sliding over to first base, playing that position well.
Right.
He's played in the outfield. So definitely going to be a tough loss tonight not having him in the lineup or on the bench. Hopefully he'll get some good news here in San Diego, be ready to go soon, maybe avoid the DL. I think that would be the best news possible.
Well,
if you can avoid the DL, maybe it's a couple more days. It's always tough to play a man down, but if you can avoid losing that guy for two full weeks, you do it.
Oh, definitely. And you'll find out, like you say, the MRI, and they'll get back home tomorrow and make a decision what they need to do.
Yep. That's the AMR injury report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit AMRSanDiego.com. So you get that news in pregame.
So,
you have to completely reshuffle your lineup. Yonhervis Solarte originally was going to be the DH, was an interesting choice in general. He moves over to first base, and then you bring Corey Spangenberg into the DH spot. And a lot of talk has been about possibly getting Derek Norris some reps at DH. I'm guessing you don't want to make that switch that close to game time, taking the catcher away from the pitcher. I got to think that's a big part of that decision.
Yeah, I would definitely think that was the biggest decision. Is you've already had your meetings, talked about the game plan. I'm not sure if I'm impressed with the game plan, but it may be the execution of the game plan. Let me put it, I'll rephrase that. You know, but that would probably be the main reason. And tonight, they haven't seen the lineup, so, I'll be surprised to see what Buddy does. He does have some options, but with Yonder down and not available, and now Myers, down and not available, it kind of limits his decision, so pretty much figure out what's going to happen.
It really does, and in the end, the lineup didn't matter that much because Ian Kennedy had probably his roughest or second roughest outing of the season. Right off the bat, he gives up the big hit to Seth Smith there. And one positive from last night, Matt Kemp makes an amazing play on that ball. Crushes the ball to right off the wall. He plays it perfectly and throws a strike in the air to Clint Barmas at second base to gun down Seth Smith trying to stretch it into a double. And that was a really exciting play. You're like, okay, maybe Ian will settle down. He gave it the hit, but Kemp bails him out there, but it didn't happen after that. But this was a really special play right here.
Oh, yeah. That was very special.
I mean, that's
you don't get any better than that.
No. I mean, that's from the warning track, 2 second base, on the fly, a perfect strike, and he guns down. No, Seth Smith's not the fastest runner in the world, but he's still a pretty good base runner. We saw that last year.
Yeah,
he makes a perfect throw.
He gets
him by a couple
feet.
Ball. That's the problem.
That's his own fault.
So that's the problem. That's the only out that Ian Kennedy can attribute to himself until Darren Balsley goes out and talks to him. So hit after hit after hit, and then Kyle Seager with the three-run home run, hits the low pitch, the lefty low pitch,
yep.
Pulls it out to right field. And I guess the most troubling thing there, this was not a bunch of bleeders. This was a bunch of well-hit balls.
Well, I mean, you watch a ball game, and Ian Kennedy just did not have command at all. You know, just couldn't get a feel of that release point, and he was just all over the place. He tried the breaking ball, the changeup, and, the key thing about that, then you make a mistake. When you release points all over the place, that's going to be, you're going to be susceptible to leaving balls over the middle of the plate. And that's exactly what continues to happen. I thought Buddy said it best in the postgame. It's all about location, making quality pitches when you need them. And the pitchers aren't making quality pitches, Mike. It's that simple. They're leaving things over the middle of the plate. I'll harp until I can't harp anymore, but you don't throw left-handers down and in. Nothing down,
It's amazing that left-handers just love that low ball. That low ball.
They've loved it since I was 10 years old, man. And you just can't make mistakes like that. And it does seem like, all of a sudden, 34 games, you've given up 50 home runs. Has anybody fouled a mistake back? I'm not sure. It seems like everybody squares up on when a Padre pitcher makes a mistake. They're squaring up on it. But what happens if you don't command the strike zone, hitting good spots, then when you make a mistake, the element of surprise is not there. That's when you usually get somebody to foul it back or miss it because, your control's been so good. And I don't really think that, the starting pitching especially has not had the command in the strike zone that you want to see. And it will happen. Certainly it's going to happen.
Yeah, you got to figure that the numbers are going to even themselves out eventually.
Hey,
it's just the nature of baseball.
Yeah, and in my perspective, maybe my expectations were high, and that's fine. I thought the pitching staff by now would have really stepped it up and done a better job, honestly. I'm confident they will. But, like this morning, reading the paper, I realized as much as really the pitching has struggled, Mike, we're at 500.
Yeah, and I want to
– we're at 500 baseball. Yeah, could we be better? Well, certainly, but 500 baseball, with what has happened, transpired on the mound, I'm looking forward to, the rest of May and June and July.
Absolutely, yeah. A little later in the show, I want to kind of put some of this into perspective because I think that's one of the things is that these losses, some of these have been so ugly that it skews the view of what this team has actually accomplished at this point. And I don't think they've played up to their potential by any means.
Not even close.
On either side of the ball. And the way these losses go down, whether you want to call it a blowout loss or whatever the case may be, it skews how you view it. But and I also want to get into some more of these numbers with the pitchers and kind of get your opinion on what some of these different numbers mean. But let's touch on the offense last night. A few really disappointing moments as well. You've got the top of the second. You get the bases loaded after three walks. And James Paxton was good, I guess. He didn't give up any runs in his six innings, but he walked five guys. He was really struggling with his location. And listening to Bob Scanlon on the radio, I guess he's really struggled throwing from the stretch. And that's where a lot of his control problems come. So you get the bases loaded in the top of the second, and Barmas works it to a full count, pops out. Top of the fourth, same thing. Barmas, bases loaded. Strikes out looking. That's probably even a little more disappointing because he was down in the count you should be protecting. But could have got him right back into the game. Could have really changed the complexion of the game if something can happen in that at bat. You don't have the pitcher in the lineup. You're playing in an American League ballpark. So that had to be equally as disappointing, especially for a guy like you who's always looking at those situations.
Yeah, even Clint Barmas, he hasn't had that many starts.
No.
To be honest, Mike. He'd been sitting the bench a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, hitting in the nine spot. And, it's unfortunate he had a couple opportunities. But not being out there, not getting the reps, the ABs, that That's a tough situation to be in, you know, no doubt about that. Sure, I'd love to even get a two-out hit. Both times there's two outs in that scenario with the bases loaded. And it's just, you know, one of the breaks. But, you know, overall, what you've got, you got to put some zeros up early. And, you know, you can't be down 4-0, 5-0 by the fourth inning. You know, you can't continue to do that and survive.
And not only that, the bullpen kind of let it down, too.
Yeah.
For everything Ian Kennedy did, he gave up 5 earned runs. That's not insurmountable with what this team has been able to do. But then Sean Kelly comes in, gives up a couple runs. They get a couple of those back. But then Frank Garces gives up a few more runs. So I think, again, more of the disappointment that
right.
this team, the strength, which should have been the bullpen, again, letting them down. And that's just got to be a mental thing where, okay, 5 runs, we might be able to get back in this thing. When you're talking about 7-8 runs, that's when it's going to get really challenging.
Well, yeah, and you shouldn't have to do that. With the caliber of pitching that we have, they're better than this. And, you know, like in like even Buddy in the post game, you know, these guys will be the first ones to admit it. They got to step up. They haven't got the job done. You know, the starting pitching and the bullpen, no consistency. And they know they got to do a better job if they're going to do anything this year.
It really, really is all about consistency, which hasn't been there. I want to encourage everyone, send in your questions on Twitter, #PadresSH, or in the live chat, Padres.com/social hour. Going to get to some of those next segment. Next segment, I want to throw some of the numbers at you as far as this pitching staff, what they've done so far. Some of the things don't make a lot of sense to me. I want to get your opinion as to why one thing relates to another. So we'll talk about that when we come back from this.
I'll try.
You'll try.
Yeah.
When anything comes up with pitching, you're my go-to guy.
Okay.
I always come to you.
You got it.
All right. College Night presented by Uber is back tomorrow night. Live DJ, food, and drink specials, Padres and Padres baseball. Tickets for students are $10 in advance or $12 day of the game. Get tickets at Padres.com/college and catch the Padres take on the Nationals at 7:10 p.m. A lot more pitching talk when we come back with Randy Jones here at the AMR Studios.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. It's Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. Last night, Padres lose 4-11 in Seattle. Currently 3-5 on the road trip. Randy's wrestling with his headset right now.
I'm having fun playing around.
Always. You're always having fun. It's a good way to go through life.
Supposed to.
Always have fun.
That's right.
Right? Don't be so serious. We get to talk about baseball for a living.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Not good baseball last night, but at least baseball. But let's talk about some of these pitching troubles. We've talked a lot about the home runs. 50 home runs given up by the Padres staff, the most in Major League Baseball. And some of the other numbers are interesting. Another number they lead the National League in is strikeouts.
Right.
So there's something very confusing about that to me. If you're striking out that many guys, that means there's a lot of swings and misses. So in theory, you would think that that would lead to not a lot of hard contact. But that's not the case. Home runs, they're third. They've given up third most doubles, the most triples. They've basically the highest slugging percentage against in the National League. How do you compute those two things where they're striking out so many guys but also giving up so much hard contact?
Well, yeah, the way I look at it, it's kind of something going on in pitching today when you watch it, is we've got some starting pitchers, you know, that have great command outside the strike zone, not inside the strike zone. The great command, you see, I'm going to go with James Shields pitching tonight. If you watch him pitch, how he nibbles the changeup, the breaking ball, you know, and very rarely do you see something, you know, on the plate, you know, honestly. It's off the plate here. It's off the plate down and in, or, you know, down the shins, you know. And I'm talking, that's by design, you know, what he's trying to do a lot of times. And then he'll throw that quality strike on the corner, you know. But also when he gets behind in the count, he has a tendency of challenging hitters too much, I think, in my opinion. And, you know, and we talked about it before the show, I think as well, when you watch him, you know, that's a perfect example of that breaking ball there. And that's where you get a lot of swing and misses. You see the same thing from Tyson Ross in that slider.
Okay.
You know, but as far as really pounding the strike zone on the outer third, the inner third, that's where they've been struggling, I think. You know, really commanding the strike zone. And everybody looks at me and goes, how do you have great command outside the strike zone?
But it makes sense.
It's living proof right here.
You get ahead in the count, and you want to be good outside the strike zone to make hitters chase.
Right. It is just like last night, Ian Kennedy hung a curveball for, you know, but it just right down the middle of the plate. And I know that he didn't have that good release point, and, you know, it's all feel. I've been there, done that. But it's very, very frustrating to see these guys make so many mistakes over the middle of the plate. I mean, Andrew Cash would be the first one to tell you how frustrating that is. Pitch as well as he did last Sunday and really make two mistakes, and they leave the ballpark.
And he's taken the brunt of this.
No, sure.
He really has. And I go back to Craig Kimbrell's blown save. He's had 1-2. He's supposed to throw the ball way outside when you see where the catcher's
set up.
And it goes way inside.
And
Doran drops the head, the left-handed bat, just like we just talked about.
You don't throw him down and in. You don't throw a lefty.
He drops
he
the head.
He dropped the head, you know, and doubled down the line. Scores two runs. And then little things like that. But, you know, overall, they just have to do a better job. And then I think the same thing in the bullpen. Yeah, you're going to come in, you throw one hard and everything else, but you still got to have some location. You got to have an idea and better command than I've seen.
Another number that isn't great, 109 walks. That's the fourth highest in the National League. I don't feel like they've been hurt by a lot of 2-3 run home runs, but still, you don't want to walk guys. It changes the dynamic of every inning, basically, so tightening that up is obviously going to help as well.
Yes, and you know, and I revert back to and you were talking about our expectations coming out of spring training. You know, if the pitching is just the same as last year, you know, how much better we could be with the offensive power that we have. And that's still a fact. I mean, if these guys were pitching as well as they did last year, you know, we might have 20 wins right now.
Right.
You know, to be honest with you. You know, and will it happen? It has to happen for this team to be successful.
So there's one common denominator with all the pitchers. It's obviously the catcher. And Derek Norris has caught a lot of the games. He's gotten very few days off. And if you retwitter the internet, he's taken some heat for his catching. Now, I don't want to put too much on a guy for framing because, one, I think it's a little subjective.
How do you frame something down the middle? I haven't seen Derek Norris sit up down the middle at all, to tell you the truth, you know. Yeah, maybe 2-0, 3-0, 3-1, and you set up behind the plate.
That's my point, is that Derek Norris may be taking a little too much heat for this.
Are you kidding me?
And Buddy said that today. He was on with Darren Smith on 1090 saying, hey, this is on the pitchers.
You ain't
lying. They like throwing to Derek. They love his intensity. They love the attitude he brings. He is not the problem with this.
Go out there and get the job done. It's not your catcher. You know, I don't care if you don't like what he's calling. You know, it's your decision.
Well, and that's my question to you, because there's also a lot of talk. How is he calling the game? A pitcher's not going to throw a pitch he doesn't want to throw.
That is correct.
Right? A pitcher can shake off any pitch. They'll go out and talk about it if they have that big of a disagreement.
Right. And then most of the time now, the scouting reports are so good with, Darren Bossy will put together when they have a meeting about the game plan. They're both on the same page right through the lineup from 1 through 9. They're on the same page, and they know how they want to get everybody out. If we're going to do a little shift, you're going to move your infielders and outfielders, how you want to pitch that guy, you know. And they do all that. It's a matter of going out executing good pitches, and they're just not doing it. It's that simple.
Yeah. Question from Louise Strecker on Twitter here. I get why Cashner and maybe Kennedy are erratic right now. OD always was. But what's up with Shields and Ross? You talked a little bit about Shields. What are you seeing with Tyson? He seemed fairly tentative to me. Maybe it's a lot to him with his mechanics. He's not comfortable out there. But what are you seeing with those two guys specifically?
Well, I mean, small sample size for James Shields. I think, you know, he's got to do a little bit better job inside the strike zone. You know, that's where it really makes you think he's been, you know, striking some guys out. You know, now I think once he establishes and gets in that good groove that I know he will, you know, he's going to be even more effective. Tyson Ross, it's a matter of consistency. And, you know, it's that one little spot, you know, whether he gets out of a windup, he gets into a stretch and loses that release point, you know. But once again, it's just all about command on the corners. And these guys have not established that. And you see Tyson Ross, and he's probably leading the starters in walks, I would assume.
Has to be.
You know, has to be. And it's just all about command.
And we've talked a lot about his mechanics. He's got a short stride for a tall guy,
yeah,
making it hard for him to repeat his delivery. I think we saw a lot of that in those early starts where he was walking a lot of guys, walking in runs, which is always really frustrating.
I think you made a great point, though. I think also maybe, you know, on the mental side of it, going down the little apprehensive hitting the mound and not taking the bull by the horns, being aggressive. I think maybe you struck on something there that, hey, you got to go out there. You don't wait for things to happen on the mound. You make them happen. You got to be aggressive. I'd like to see more of our pitchers go out there And once again, and I'm sure you've heard it a million times with the other guests, you know, every once in a while, you got to move a hitter's feet.
Make them uncomfortable.
Straighten them up a little bit. Let them know that, hey.
And just to clarify, you're not talking about hitting a guy, hurting a guy.
I don't want to.
Get him uncomfortable.
I don't want him on base. I just want to scare the hell out of him. That's what I want to do. You know what I mean? I mean, go ahead and have him dust his pants off. You know, because the dirt's on his butt. Because you just, pitched him inside and you scared him to death.
No, it makes a lot of sense.
You know, just make him a little more uncomfortable. I'm not going headhunting, but I just think you got to establish that. I'm just seeing way too many hitters in there very, very comfortable, leaning over the plate and just taking a full turn on every mistake.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And when you put all this into motion and see what it's created, things aren't that bad.
No,
it's a 500 record. And when we talk about that when we come back,
yes.
It could be a lot worse.
Oh, man.
It could be a lot worse.
Oh, have we seen worse? Yes, sir, we have.
In San Diego, we've seen it all, I'd say. Especially on the negative side of things. You've seen it all.
I've seen it all.
You've seen it all. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. And a little later, we're going to talk to Corey Brock. He's going to give us an update from Seattle, everything going on with the team up there. So
cool.
We'll talk to him a little bit later. Get ready for San Diego's biggest happy hour. Party in the Park, presented by Southwest Airlines, is back this Friday as the Padres take on the Nationals at 7:10. The party starts at 5 and features $5 food and drinks. Don't miss the assortment of Maui Jim sunglasses and the Shellback Rum Man Cave. Get your tickets today at Padres.com/party. When we come back, more Padres talk on Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studios in the Western Metal Supply Building here at Petco Park. Down the line, left field line, and just finished talking about pitching. Ozzy on Twitter says, as bad as the pitching has been and the offensive struggles of late, the bats have flashed at times, and we're still a 500 team. And definitely the important thing to remember. Real quick, Corey Kluber, former Padre farmhand, last year's Cy Young Award winner in the American League, 18 strikeouts in 8 innings. Did not go back out for the 9th inning, 113 pitches. I got to think Randy Jones probably goes out for the 9th inning. Of course, the world would have stopped if you'd have had 18 strikeouts in a game,
18
right?
18 strikeouts. I didn't
maybe
have that
18 ground balls.
I didn't have that in a month. I mean, 18 punch-outs. But, overall, though, he's really struggled, though. I think 0-5 in his first five starts.
Yeah, he's not looked like a Cy Young winner.
He has not looked like him. So, and not see him have a breakout game like this and a little more intensity like we talked about. Maybe some of our guys need to do him. Punch-out 18, didn't give up a hit until the 7th inning, the single by, Peralta. That's the kind of pitching that, you expect from, Corey Kluber.
Well, they call him the Klubot because he is just as stone-faced out there as you can be. A lot like Tyson Ross is
for us.
He doesn't show much emotion.
Not much emotion.
But he did something special tonight. Interesting that he didn't go back out, but if you don't want to push a guy, if it's not necessary, I get it. Protect the guy a little bit. 113 pitches, that's a lot.
That's what they do today. Old school, we'd have gone out there. Are you kidding me? We wouldn't have had any idea how many pitches we'd thrown. We didn't care.
I'd like to see him get a little more away from pitch counts as compared to tough innings. I think tough innings are tougher on a pitcher, don't you think?
Yeah, it's the tough innings and how much of a load you're really putting on. Have you been battling all night, straining, and really working hard on the mound? But if you're out there just flowing right through it and you got 113 pitches, but 18 punch outs, he's been working.
Yeah.
He's been grinding, man. I guarantee you that.
So the Padres, we've talked. It's been frustrating. But let's remember, it's a 500 team right now. They got a chance to come home above 500. They've been better at home. One thing to keep in mind, they've played the 6th hardest schedule in Major League Baseball, and 27 of their 34 games have been against teams above 500. That includes the Mariners, who are a team that should be above 500. That's a team that most people expect to win that division. So it's been a very tough schedule.
Oh. That's not going to get any easier.
No,
it gets. You got the Nationals coming in, or swinging the bat, playing good baseball, and the Cubs. All of a sudden, those young kids are starting to buy into, whatever they've got there in Chicago, and they've been playing some good baseball.
So 6 of the Padres' losses so far this year have been by 5 or more runs. I'd encourage everybody to go over to Gaslight Ball. They did a nice little write up explaining or just showing some of the run differential, and that's a lot of blowout losses this early in the year, especially for this pitching staff. So I think that skews our perception of this team, but they do have 10 come from behind wins, but that says to me that, like we've talked about, they're not hitting on all cylinders. When they're going to be playing well is when they're going to score 3, 4, 5 runs early, and the starting pitcher is going to be able to cruise, maybe get you to the 8th inning, one guy, Kimbrel, comes in. That's when they're going to be playing well. When they're having to come from behind constantly to win games, that tells me they're not quite where they want to be.
They're not getting the job done. It's a ham and egg. I mean, you're going to have blowouts, and we all understand that. You know, but when I look at the game last night, and when you score 4 runs, you should win.
Especially when you look at this team, what they were last year, this pitching staff. You remember every day we felt like, man, if they could just find a way to score 3 runs, they'd be playing 750 ball and leading the division.
If you're going to give up 11 runs, just score 1. All right.
Well, they've done that a few times this year as well.
Let me just save them. Don't frustrate me like that. You know, I'm just saying right now, in the times when I see a well-pitched ball game, and that's putting some zeros up in the first 5 innings by our starting pitchers, you know, giving this offense a chance to make some things happen, and they will, you got to believe that. But you know, I mean, these starting pitchers, one thing, James Shields. I mean, was he giving up how many home runs in his last 11 innings? Like 7 home runs.
7 in his last 2 starts.
And he's 2-0. You know. That don't happen very. Oh,
he's 4-0, going for his
4-0. But I mean, 2-0
in
those 11 innings.
Yeah,
is what I'm talking
about.
He's
the run support guy this
year. Yeah, he's got the spot in the rotation where he's getting a lot of runs. You know, and it's kind of funny how that works. But that's just part of the starting pitching, and you get in that spot where Andrew Kastner's not getting a whole bunch of runs, and that's his spot right now. But you never know. I mean, if you skip Despaigne this time and you go on regular rotation, that might change it all up, and everybody moves around. But I think the overall thing is you just got to go out, slam the door on a team, get some momentum going. And that either the starting pitcher's got to stimulate the bullpen or vice versa. Bullpen's got to start coming in, slamming the door solid, and maybe that'll run over to the starting pitching.
And we've talked a little bit about that as well. When this team is playing well, it's a little follow the leader. When they score a lot of runs, they get momentum. A guy gets
right.
a hit. Another
exactly.
guy gets a hit. Or the starting pitcher goes out there, puts up a bunch of zeros. Then one bullpen guy does, another bullpen guy does. They follow the lead of the next guy. And I don't know if it's a mental thing. Well, we're down. I don't have to go out there and, pitch that well.
Yeah.
But this team has played a lot of follow the leader. It seems at least that way just from the blind eye.
Yeah, in the first 6 weeks, I think you're absolutely right in these first 34 games. But, and I think also overall with the inconsistency in the starting pitching, I mean, you got all kinds of guys warming up at innings they're not supposed to be warming up. I mean, it's just everything's a little bit haywire here, I mean, most of the time when you see it, the routine starter goes out there, give me a solid 7. You got Benoit in the 8th. You got Kimbrel in the 9th. Boom. I mean, that's what we're supposed to see a little more often than we've been seeing it.
Yeah, so you mentioned Despaigne. He has been pushed back to Friday. So you got Shields today, which I like.
Yeah.
We talked about this his last start. Now, he didn't go out and pitch great, but this is what you brought this guy in for. You want him to go out there, be a stopper. Now, it's not really a losing streak, but this team needs a win. They need to come home 4-5 on the road trip.
I agree 100%.
A happy flight is always a good thing, and you want this guy, the guy that you spent a lot of money on, that you put a lot of pressure on to be the leader of the staff, who wants to be the leader of the staff, who has acted like the leader of the staff, to go out there and put up a lot of zeros.
And he is the leader of this staff, and I'm just kind of waiting for him to put it all together. And get a couple of starts, one to make wonders for everybody else to follow suit. That game inside the game where you want to compete with each other. I'd like to see a little more of that start happening. Let's see guys a little more aggressive out there. Not lackadaisical, mind you. I know it's intense, but even a little bit more so. Go after hitters a little bit more.
Yeah, you're always about the intensity.
Yeah.
You always want aggressiveness, I should say. Want pitchers to be aggressive. You want your hitters to be aggressive.
I like that part. You have to be aggressive. And once again, I learned a long time ago, you don't wait for things to happen in this game. You make them happen. The only way you do that is to be aggressive and go after people.
Aggressive with confidence.
That's right.
Got to have confidence whether you're on the mound or at the plate. You got to know that you can and will succeed.
Yep.
Otherwise, how are you going to
you
at this level? It's just too hard.
And you got to be pretty stubborn with that thought process. Just keep believing.
You're a stubborn guy. I can see why you had success.
You bet.
If you just hadn't thrown 400 innings in a season, you might not have blown your arm out.
Whatever. It is what it is.
No
man.
Complaints, right?
None whatsoever.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, next segment, we're going to talk to Corey Brock from MLB.com, get his take on what's going on with the team, with some of these injuries. Hopefully we'll get some updates from him. So we'll talk to him next on the Cholula Hotline after this break here.
Good. Look forward to that.
As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Coming up next on the Cholula Hotline, Corey Brock, right after this break.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show. Randy Jones, Mike Grace, here at Petco Park, getting ready to talk to our good friend. I got to think he's probably been on the show more than anybody else as far as people that aren't co-hosts or hosts. Corey Brock of MLB.com, Padres.com, joining us from Seattle. Corey, you're on the Cholula Hotline. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, and I'm still waiting for those royalty checks to roll in.
Yeah, don't hold your breath either, Corey.
Not with Blooper at the helm. Yeah. He's pocketing those things.
Randy, they don't tell you that ahead of time, do they?
No warning whatsoever, Corey. But, you know, overall, it's been a tough road trip for you guys so far.
Yeah, it's been kind of interesting. You know, I think a couple of those games in Arizona, they feel like they'd like to get back and take back a few pitches there. And yesterday, boy, you weren't really in that thing from the get-go with the way the Mariners jumped on Ian Kennedy early and then kept adding on with the long ball in a ballpark. And I know this from covering the Mariners in 2006. You know, this is not a place that's very, conducive to hitting. Really, it's. But they made the ballpark look small yesterday.
They really did. Have you heard any updates? We heard Will Myers is back in San Diego, going to see a hand specialist. Have you heard anything beyond that about his injury status?
No, I think that's the latest at this point. You know, the Padres may get some information later tonight, but more likely tomorrow on what Dr. Pacelli has to see in terms of what's going on in Will's wrist. We talked with Buddy about it a little bit, and, you know, Buddy says he's trying to stay encouraged. And, you know, it's funny. We caught up with Will after the game last night, talked to him a little bit about it, and he's moving the wrist around, says it only really bothered him on his follow-through with his swing. But Buddy said, you know, he may have been putting on a little bit of a brave face there and, said he was certainly in some discomfort. So, you know, it's a guy that's had some wrist issues in the past. Certainly you'd hate to lose this guy to the disabled list. He's been a real important cog at the top of the lineup and has really made incremental improvements as the season's gone on. I look at his last 10, 15 games. Randy, you've seen it too. This guy's a better knowledge of the strike zone, laying off balls, not chasing as much. We've seen him drop down a couple bunt base hits. So I think this is a young guy really starting to find himself.
I definitely agree with that, even at first base. Looking very, very comfortable, you know, first appearance there. And eight chances and looked very comfortable there. But, yeah, you talk about it, if we lose a Myers, I can't think of a better time, Corey, for possibly the starting rotation to step it up finally and make some things happen on the mound to get this ball club rolling in the right direction.
Yeah, it's kind of a head-scratcher, especially, you know, in my eight previous seasons covering the team. You know, this has been a team that's largely had to get by on run prevention, pitching and defense. Now they have a lineup of guys that could score some runs, and the pitching sort of let them down, especially, I'd say, a little bit more in the bullpen than the starting rotation. And, you know, I have to think that this is going to, these guys are going to revert back to old form. You got too long a history with some past performances here, especially with a guy like James Shields and Ian Kennedy, guys that have been in the league for a while. Andrew Cashner, we know he's capable of putting together some good starts. And, you know, Tyson Ross had the big breakout year last year. But the home runs have been alarming. You know, there's 50 of them to account for already, and that's the most in the big leagues. So, but Buddy seems to think, you know, a lot of this lies with the pitchers in terms of falling behind in counts and leaving too many balls elevated. And, you know, I think these are all things that are fixable. And the important thing to note here, guys, you know, unlike, let's say, the Brewers, who have allowed 49 home runs, they're probably questioning members of their rotation, trying to figure out if they need to make some changes. Well, the Padres have all the right guys in place there. I think we could all agree upon that. Brandon Morrow's on the DL. But, you know, they have the right guys in place. And I think that with a little bit greater length as far as sample size, this thing will kind of level out a little bit more.
Oh, I definitely agree 100%. I think expectations coming out of spring training, obviously, you are – they're probably over the top, and, you know, and they have underperformed, and I think that they would tell you that as well, especially the bullpen. And then one side or the other has got to stimulate the other. Either the starting pitcher's got to slam the door the first five or six innings and hand it over to a bullpen, and or vice versa. If the starter's going to struggle a little bit, the bullpen's got to come in and be the motivator and you slam the door for the last three innings.
Yeah, and it's we're moving into the month of May now. You know, the starters are stretched out now. There's no reason why these guys, can't pitch into the seventh inning, and allow you to shorten up the bullpen a little bit where you're not leaning on these guys so much. So I think that's going to be important to note moving forward. And starting with a guy like James Shields tonight, a guy that strikes out a lot of guys and that drives up the pitch count, as Randy.
Right. Well,
not that you were a big strikeout guy, of course, but you could pitch all day and night. But I think they need innings out of the starters and alleviate some of the pressure on the bullpen a little bit, shorten the game, and I think you're going to see some better results.
I definitely agree and concur with that. I mean, maybe you're a seventh inning guy, an eighth inning guy, a ninth inning guy. Why in the world are you warming up in the fourth? And we have been seeing a lot of that type of scenario so far in this first 6 weeks, and everybody needs to get down. Starters need to get doing their job, go six, seven innings, and then now you can put these guys in the spots where they're supposed to be in the bullpen, warming up when they expect to, and then get a little more consistency out of everyone involved.
Yeah, and I just look at these guys, and I've seen the performances before. We saw what Ian Kennedy did last year. And you got a lot of guys that can miss some bats. I think they lead the big leagues in strikeouts, which is great. But guys will still jump on that fastball from time to time. So you're going to see some home runs. And these guys have given up some home runs in their past, but not at this rate. So I have to think this thing levels out here. This isn't a sign of regression with all these guys at once. I'm just not buying it. These guys aren't on the downslide of their careers here. I think there's better performances ahead.
And I think, Corey, it might be time for maybe a few of these guys to get a little more aggressive and start moving some hitters' feet when they're hitting.
Yeah, that's not a bad call, Randy. Yeah, you get those feet moving, come inside a little bit, and that opens up that outer third, and you could see some, a lot more strikeouts, a lot more weak contact. I think that's important.
Yeah, at least they might, some of those mistakes are a little plate, they might foul them back if you did that.
Yeah, it gives the hitter a little something to think about when that ball comes buzzing inside, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Very good. Talking to Corey Brock from MLB.com. We're not above talking about the silly stuff on the internet, and I think you're probably the foremost authority on this. Many probably don't understand, but can you give our listeners, our watchers out there, the Reader's Digest version of where the Vetter Cup came from and what this is all about?
Yeah, and I'm still a little fuzzy on some of the details. I think it was one of the bloggers in San Diego. I don't know if it was RJ Bros or Rick and those guys or somebody else came up with the idea of the Vetter Cup, knowing that Pearl Jam lead singer Eddie Vedder had a background in San Diego. I believe he grew up there and went to high school there, Gracie. Maybe you could set
that
me
sounds right. Yeah, he spent some time here.
And then, of course, his roots in Seattle, where the band really took off, Pearl Jam. So, the Vetter Cup has taken a little steam out of it lately. But now that interleague play has gone to these short two-game series, we don't really get a very good long look at the Mariners anymore, so which is a little sad and cut short a trip home for me up here. But, I think the Padres have a chance to even the Vetter Cup tonight, and they got they got the best guy on the mound to do it.
Really good stuff from Corey Brock. Corey, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the game. Have a safe flight home, and we'll see you back here in San Diego real soon.
Thanks, Corey.
Yeah. Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
Thanks to Corey Brock for joining us on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap. For a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano, check out their new green pepper sauce flavor today. Thanks to Corey. Always doing great stuff, whether it's with us or on Padres.com, MLB.com. Always great to catch up with him. More Padres talk when we come back from the AMR studios.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Two-game series finale in Seattle tonight at 7:10.
They better start winning, man, or I'm going fishing. I want you to know that.
I think you're going fishing regardless.
Yeah, that's true, too. That won't work, will it?
Yeah. Things are good, things are bad. Randy's
going
fishing.
Yeah.
Just go fishing.
Don't work the bird dog.
As long as there's some water in those lakes. Goodness.
Yeah, I know.
Supposed to get some rain. Tomorrow, Friday, we might actually have some weather delays here. It's going to be interesting
That'll be interesting.
But I think it's worth it. California, San Diego needs the water.
You're going to turn your sprinklers off for 3 days. Get real. I think
Fill up the lakes.
Yeah. I'm not going to hold my breath on it.
I know. Hey, let's take a look at today's lineup, an interesting lineup. People have talked so much recently about who is going to DH for the Padres. Today's lineup, as always, presented by United Airlines. United Airlines, proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. And there it is, Almonte leading off, Spangenberg, Kemp, Upton, Solarte, Norris, Venable, Middlebrooks, Amarista. Upton in the DH spot. And when you think about it, it makes some sense.
Sure.
He hasn't really gotten much in the way of days off since he came back from his injury. Kemp got the 2 days with Sunday day off in Arizona, then the following off day. Makes sense to get Justin off his feet, out of the field. Improves your outfield defense with Almonte and Venable out there. So if you're not going to give Norris the day off, Kemp and Upton are probably your next two guys that you want to get off their feet. So
it really makes a lot of sense. And also, Middlebrook in that eighth spot, one base hit last night, but drove the ball to right center, made a great play
there. He's just had a lot of tough luck.
I mean, swinging the bat a lot better than the average shows. And I'm glad to see him back at third base. I mean, I really like him at third base and, plays the game right. He needs a couple of breaks and needs a couple of broken bat base hits or something to get him going.
Totally get Spangenberg being back at second base, but Jed Jerko has started to hit the ball better. It is a right-handed pitcher. Is this more of them protecting him while he's going well until he really figures it out? Or is this a let's play Spangenberg left-handed bat he's been hitting the ball
well? I think that's the lefty-righty and Walker, he has a good arm. Seattle's very high on this young right-hander. So
not great numbers, but a lot of promise. Live arm.
The last couple of starts, he's had a couple where he got blown up like Ian Kennedy, and has a couple of starts like that where he's given 7-8 runs up, but 4 home runs in his last 2 starts. And, like I say, it's all about consistency with some of these young kids, and he's been struggling with that.
At some point, Jed Jerko is going to have to play for an extended period, though.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, definitely. And it's going to happen.
And he's earning it at this
point. Yeah, the lefty-righty matchup right now. I mean, Buddy likes that idea. And Spangy's been swinging the bat pretty well from the left side. So, having him up there in that lineup, without Will there, it gives you a little more speed, I think, up top, than Jerko could give you, that you change the whole dynamics of the whole lineup.
Makes a lot of sense. Padres fans, get your chance to snag a Padres hoodie this Saturday. This Baseball Night in San Diego giveaway is for all fans, presented by Toyota. Get tickets at Padres.com to see the Padres take on the Washington Nationals at 5:40 and walk away with a free hoodie. A lot of fun with this giveaway right here. Going to close up the show next with a fun Randy Jones fact that just came out today.
Huh.
A lot of fun.
All right.
We'll be right back.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
A little over half hour till the Padres take on the Mariners in Seattle. A nice piece on Grantland. They do a lot of good stuff over there at Grantland.com. And Ben Lindbergh had an article, came up today, about pitchers who drew the most fans. So he did some analysis of attendance and how it was affected by different days of the week and things like that. But the bottom line was trying to figure out which pitchers brought in the most fans for their starts.
Right.
You made the list.
I did.
You were number 5.
Wow.
And according to his numbers, the difference from when you pitched and when you didn't pitch was just over 9,000 people coming to the park just to see you pitch.
Yeah, it was pretty special. I was especially 75 and 76. And
this is just the 76 season.
Oh, yeah.
Special year.
It was a special year. And get a great first half. And every time I started, I had 40 starts that year and 20 were at home. It was kind of a 20-20 split. I had 20 on the road and 20 at home. And those 20 at home were really special. I mean, every time I went out to warm up, I got a standing ovation. I hadn't thrown a pitch yet. I always had to walk by the visiting dugout. And, it'd be like the Cincinnati Reds, Pete Rosario, they're staring at me going, why are they giving you a standing ovation, And I just look at him and go, well, you'll find out later,
And you did.
I did.
Because he struggled.
Yeah, it was just magical. And I can remember a Wednesday night at home, I was facing Tom Seaver, who beat me in 75.
Who's on this list twice, by the way.
Yeah, and it makes sense. And it was a Wednesday in May, and I think we had like 38,000 people there for that game on a Wednesday night. Kids were still in school, but it was just that rivalry. I ended up beating Seaver 4-1 that day, and
probably took about an hour and 38 minutes.
Yeah,
something
it was.
Like that.
It is under 2 hours, trust me. You know, but overall, it was just special. The fans just really got into it. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that.
You want to one guess at the number one pitcher as far as attendance?
No.
Fidrich.
Yeah, the bird.
The bird.
I love it.
You would get an extra 17,000 people.
I love it. That's great.
All right, Randy. Thanks so much. A lot of fun today. Padres are back home tomorrow, as is Padres Social Hour, 5:30. Enjoy the game tonight. Thanks, everyone.